Hello, friends. We'd like to welcome you back to the Granite Bay Seventh-day Adventist Church here in Granite Bay, California, close to Sacramento. We'd like to welcome our many online members and our friends who are joining us across the country and around the world. Today is what you would call a high Sabbath in the experience of the Granite Bay Church congregation. We've been meeting in this new facility, but we haven't actually taken time in a special way to dedicate this building for the proclamation of the gospel. And so that's the general focus, our main theme in our worship service today. You'll notice we'll be doing things just a little different. And we do have bulletins. We've kind of outlined what we'll be doing in the bulletin. So if you want to follow along with that, but we are just so grateful that you are here. For those who are joining us in person, very warm welcome to all of you. We do have some announcements that I'd like to just bring to your attention. You'll notice in the seat back pockets, a series of cards. First is just our ministry interest card. I mentioned this, I think, last week. We're looking to find out what areas of ministry you have an interest in being involved with. Now, it's not a guarantee that if you check the box, you're going to be in that ministry. It just depends how many people we need and how things will go. But we're in the process of gathering that information. If you're a regular attendee of the Granite Bay Church, people have asked, well, do I have to be a member of the Granite Bay Church to fill in a ministry interest card? No. But if you're regular in attendance, yes, fill in a card. I missed two ministries. It was pointed out to me. The first is the health ministry. If you're interested in helping in health, you can write that in. The other is the prayer ministry, and you can write that in as well. Give us contact information. At the end of the service, you can just drop these cards off, and you'll see our deacons when they collect the offering. You can just put it in there. There's a few other cards that we have, and we're going to talk about these a little later on. You'll see this card, so we'll talk about that later. We also have something to commemorate this special occasion, the dedication of our new church. We put this in the bulletins. It also might be in the seat back pocket. If you don't find one right now, we're also having them available in the back church foyer. And we hope that you will take this, take it home. This is something that you'll be able to keep. You were here for this very special dedication Sabbath. So it's sort of a memory keep, and I want you to take advantage of that. Also would like to ask, our media team mentioned to me, if we've got some brave souls that are willing to come fill these front rows. Now, I know a few of the chairs here have some computer stuff on it, and we've got two brave people right up here. But we need these front rows filled because we are a media church, and it always looks good if you have people sitting on the front row. And so if you would like to come, thank you. We've got the Kramers coming there. Thank you. Anyone else? Matter of fact, we're so generous this morning, or desperate, we're going to give those who sit in the front row $100. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to give you $100. We're going to give you a book that's worth way more than $100. It's a little book all about the Bible called The Ultimate Resource. So take advantage of that. Our front row people, hey, we see movement here. Anyone else? Oh, praise the Lord. We've got them coming forward. Keep coming. We're trying to fill these front row chairs, and we will really appreciate your help. So if you are so inclined, please come forward. I might remind you at the end of the welcome announcements if they still open. All right, thank you so much. I want to remind you, we are doing our outreach this afternoon. It's called Gospel on the Go. That is going to be at 3 p.m. We have an elders meeting and a board meeting coming up on Monday evening. Remind you about our family training rooms, and I see we have some young families already taking advantage of that. If you've got a little one that might be a little noisy during the service, please take advantage of those family training rooms. A very special youth event starts on Wednesday. That is the 19th of May, the 19th through the 22nd. It's called Undaunted Courage. We have a number of outstanding speakers who are joining us for this. Now, people are asking, well, I'm not a youth anymore. Can I come? Absolutely. We want you to come. Our target is for the youth, but we want everyone who wants to come to come. So it starts in the evening on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We have Clifford Goldstein from the General Conference that's joining us. We have Adam Randon from the North England Conference, not New England, but actual England Conference over there in Britain. He's going to be joining us. We have a number of other outstanding speakers, and I think you will be richly blessed. You don't want to miss any of it, so come take advantage of this great opportunity. We need some help connected with Undaunted Courage. We need some folks to help with greeting and registration. If you're able to do that, you can email Tony Scarpino. We also need help with the food prep. We're looking to have more than 1,000 people here for lunch on Sabbath, so we could do with some extra hands helping in the food prep. You can contact Kathy Kweetsevite. Her email is there as well. And then we also want to just remind folks about a new ministry we have. It's called Compassionate Cooks. And Suzanne, I don't know if she's backstage. Come on up, Suzanne. Tell us about this new ministry that I think is an important ministry. We can all be involved.
Well, I'm really disappointed that I missed out on the opportunity for that $100 because I'm up here. But we are calling all compassionate cooks, men and women. And I know some of you men are compassionate. And I know some of you men can cook. So it's time to come out of the closet and be part of the team. So this is the last call. You've noticed the last couple of weekends we've had this in the bulletin. So this will be the last call for our compassionate cooks. And basically what this is about is that we have people sometimes in our church that need help, need a meal, need some compassion and love because they've been struggling with an illness or injury, and we want to provide that to them. And so the deaconesses will send you an email about a week in advance. We'll let you know what's going on and that we could use a meal, and then you can prepare that, bring it on Sabbath, and we'll be taking it to them. So we're going to have a quick meeting, those that have signed up, for 10 minutes, right in front of the fellowship hall, first door in the hallway here. And so if you have any questions, you think you might want to partake, then go ahead and join us. You'll also notice that you can, it's in the bulletin, but if you think about it and you want to join or have questions, you can email GB. It's in the bulletin. So it's gbdeaconesses@gmail.com.
gbdeaconesses@gmail.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. We appreciate that. And thank you for your help with that. We have folks who are sick or in need, and that's one way we can minister to them. Again, we want to welcome all of you. And those of you sitting in the front row, don't forget to collect your $100 from Pastor Doug following the service. Just kidding. We'll get your book. We'll get you your book at the end of the service. And I see we have two chairs open there. So any brave souls, we've got two chairs. I'll just leave it with you. It's going up to $200 for those two chairs. Real special chairs right up front here. There we go. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, thank you. Okay, we got it covered. Well, we have so much to be thankful for, and we're just delighted that you're here, and we're looking forward to praising God. And let's stand, and we're going to sing that great call to worship. We have this hope, and let's sing it with all our hearts.
We have this hope that burns within. Faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of His word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Alleluia, Christ is King. This hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord.
Our wonderful Father in heaven, Lord, we are so thankful for this Sabbath day and this time in particular when we can come together on this Sabbath and just rejoice in your presence, to praise you for the incredible ways that you've led to bring this congregation together and provide these facilities, and just to glorify you. Lord, we pray that in all that happens today, that this place would be filled with your Spirit and your angels, that you would be glorified, and we'll all be better as a result, more like Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, friends. Now, this service is going to be a little different in its regular order. Now is the time when we normally do our tithes and our offerings, and we are going to move into that segment. But first, I'd like to invite out one of our elders, Mike Rich, and we'd like to just share some very good news with the congregation and give you a little history of what's been involved in building and financing this church, as well as the Word Center and the warehouse. Mike is one of our elders. He's also a preacher in his own right, has done some church planting with us, and also serves as the assistant treasurer of Amazing Facts. So he's been on the front lines of what's involved for many years in trying to get the funds to build a facility like this. So we know it costs a little bit of money.
A little bit.
And the contractors told us, if I remember, that before they would even consider building, that we needed to have a loan approved for at least $15 million. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. About a year before we broke ground in May of 2017, we had to go in the finance department, we had to go into hyper mode, because as we were negotiating with the contractors and getting bids, none of them would go forward until we had a guaranteed construction loan from a bank. And we talked to our current banks, who had told us they would help us anytime we needed it, but when it came time, they didn't. We went to seven banks, I think, local, national banks, all different banks, and they all turned us down because we didn't fit their lending model. And finally, we were pointed to Five Star Bank, which is a group of Christian men that run the bank, and they have helped many churches in this area. And their loan officer, John Blackstead, got us approved and official with a $15 million credit line for a construction loan in about a month, and away we went.
Yeah. Now, I don't know about you, that was a day of both rejoicing and fear for me, because I thought, well, praise the Lord.
Us too.
Yeah. We can move forward, but I hate owing money. And the idea that we were going to have a $15 million debt hanging over us, and did not have that money in the bank, had some money. And you, just so you know, we did sell some property. We sold our old facilities to help. But even beyond that, we needed the $15 million loan. And so I said, Lord, we've run into a lot of challenges in building this facility. It didn't happen overnight. We had to struggle with environments and permits. And I mean, we had so many studies, you wouldn't believe it. We had dinosaur studies. You'll be happy to know there are no dinosaurs on the property. We had the studies looking for Indian graves. We didn't find any. And we had studies for eagles, for fairy shrimp, which are virtually indestructible, but we had to protect them. We had studies for the number of trees. There's just no end to it. And I started thinking, Lord, is this your will? And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray for a miracle. I said, I'm going to pray that we'll build this, and we will not ever have to use any of the bank money. Having bank money approved is different from actually saying, now we need to make a withdrawal of that. So in the course of time that we were building, how many times did we use any of the bank money?
We didn't have to take any money at any time. And it was pretty amazing. Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, we didn't take any money at any time. And, you know, we complained. Well, hopefully we didn't complain, but we were frustrated by the fact that our project was delayed. It was delayed by almost 2 years for the sanctuary. But do you know that because of that, the money came in and we never had to borrow once? And that probably saved us hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest.
Amen. Amen. And so you got a notice from the bank. By the way, Five Star people were very nice to us. You got a notice from the bank, I think, in December, and they said, you know, doesn't look like you guys are ever going to use any of our money, so we're closing out the account.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
So we've got a note here for $15 million, and you're going to be witnesses. Let's go over here, Mike.
Okay.
You want to help me with this?
Sure.
Want to see how much of our loan we still owe? Now, don't call the fire marshal.
We owe nothing.
Praise God. Amen. So we just want to thank you. Do you realize you are sitting in a church, as well as the Amazing Facts facilities and warehouse? We have no debt. Isn't that amazing? That is a miracle. Praise God. And it's just reassuring that this was all God's plan. And by the way, we're very thankful because right now building prices and construction equipment has gone up 100%. And we're so thankful that we were able to finish it now. Well, at this time, I think, Mike, we're still going to call for our regular tithes and offerings.
Yes, it's now time for our tithes and offerings, and we are very thankful. Thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. It's been a real blessing. But you know what? There are still even costs that we are incurring with a few more projects that are in conjunction with the sanctuary and in the programs that we are now beginning to institute. You see that we're ramping up, and we really are beginning to reach the world through the telecast from this church. So we are going to have a prayer for our tithes and offerings, but I'd like to remind you that we're not passing the plate, but as you go out after the service, the deacons will be in the back with the baskets, and you can put your tithes and offerings there. And please continue to give so that the Lord can get this message to people around the world. Will you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed in guiding through this whole project and in providing the funds necessary. It's very faith-building, but we give the honor and the glory all to you. And just pray that you would continue to bless this church, not for ourselves, but for your glory and for the blessing and the salvation of others. We ask your blessing on these offerings and that many people would be reached as we continue to give. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Pastor Ross and I were just saying, you know, we probably ought to stand together and sing the doxology after an experience like that. So we're going to bring our singers out, and we'll invite you to stand. Let's just praise the Lord for what he's done in supplying the finances for this beautiful facility. Sit down. I'd like to ask that those of you who were with the Granite Bay church plant before we moved into the facilities, if you were with the plant when it first started, if you would remain standing. Everyone else, you may be seated. I see some people out there. See, I see Doc Newman, Lee. These are some of the people. I want you to know it started with this little handful of people. And we're going to give you the history of that right now. You may be seated. You say, amen. See how multiplication works? We thought it'd be nice to just share a little history of what brought us to the place where we're at now. And let's see if this works. I'm pressing the button.
All right. It's...
He's got it up there.
I
okay.
Got it there. Okay. Let me fix something down here.
So to tell the story about Granite Bay, you really need to start with Sacramento Central because, it was in 1993, Karen and I went to Central and the Lord blessed and the church was growing. We sort of joined Amazing Facts. So I say Amazing Facts came to California. We began to partner with Amazing Facts during that time. And very quickly, the church grew to 80%. Now, you know what the 80-20 rule is. Once a church gets to about 80%, its growth seems to table off. Way back then, we started saying, where can we go and plant a church? Because there was no room downtown to build onto that facility, if you remember. And so we want to really thank the members of Sacramento Central for helping to shepherd this vision. But we didn't want to just build a building. We wanted the program to be the strength of the building. And so we were looking at, what's the method of Jesus in doing evangelism? You've got that verse in Matthew 9:35. Jesus went about all the cities, he had a country ministry, and the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, those are the churches, the assemblies, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease among the people. So you see that there's adoration, restoration, education, proclamation, and you put those in the right order and it adds up to reap. This is the formula for growing a church. Teaching, preaching, you've got evangelism, healing ministry is restoration, and you do it in the context of a group. That's the adoration, the synagogue. And under that formula, the Lord blessed and things continue to grow. But we wanted to have a church that would make that as its foundation. In the spirit of prophecy, Ellen White says, our large churches, underscore, she did know there'd be large churches. Our large churches ought to be turning out men who are educated and trained and disciplined and prepared to enter the Lord's vineyard. And every church should be a training school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to give Bible studies, Bible readings, how to conduct and teach Sabbath school classes, how to help the poor and to care for the sick, and how to work for the unconverted. There should be schools of health, cooking schools, and classes in various lines of Christian help work. So we decided, you know, we want this to be not just a church, we want it to be discipling, training people how to win souls. And then something else we noticed, a trend was changing. People weren't just going to their neighborhood congregation. People were getting their religious instruction through media. And then back in 2005, we made a note, of course, it's more true today than it was then. Barna Research says, the reshaping of American lives is evident in various facets of their life, including the spiritual dimension. A new nationwide survey conducted by the Barna Group indicates that while 56% of adults attend church services in a typical month, a much larger percentage is exposed to religious information and experiences through various forms of media. We said, we want to multiply whatever we do here to reach more people, using social media, television, radio, whatever we could do. So now two things are happening at the same time. In a moment, Pastor Ross is going to talk about the actual members that got involved in planting the church. We're talking about the structure right now. We said, all right, we need a place. Met with the conference, and first we wanted to go to Natomas because that was close to Sacramento Central. They said, we just planted a church there. You have to look elsewhere. So we went up the 80 corridor because all the families, or many of our families, lived up that way. And they said, well, there's no church in Loomis, Folsom, Granite Bay. And so looking around the area for property, actually, we want to thank Jim Ayer for this. He was a realtor, but also worked with Amazing Facts. He found this piece of land. He said, in real estate, there's three rules. You know what they are? Location, location, location. And in 2004, we ultimately bought this piece of property, 77 acres. Some of you have not seen the lower half. Beautiful pond down there. It's full right now. And here's an aerial of the land. And we knew there'd be some construction challenges, but we said, Lord, we just feel impressed. This is the place. We got a good price, and we bought the property. It was 2006. How many of you were here? We had a bigger group that came. We had a dedication service up on the property then. I see your hands. Yeah. And we sang and we prayed, had a little picnic up there. I got hay fever real bad. Then we subdivided the land because we knew it'd be easier to then do that, just put the church up by the road to start with. And we spent years in committees, designing committees and meeting with architects, and a lot of different iterations of the church happened. And I kind of liked that one. But anyway, you know, we finally settled on a beautiful design that you have with you today. But I just want to thank all of the people, many of you here, that sat for hundreds of hours in committees designing. And then on April 2017, after securing the loan and some builders, we broke ground, and some of you were here that day. And I don't know if they're ready upstairs. If you could roll that video I gave the girls, if she's ready to do that, let's see if that'll play on the screen. It was amazing the activity that was involved in doing this. They moved, I don't know, 1,000 dump trucks of earth, Pastor Ross. Literally, they had to move mountains. But we just saw an incredible amount of work going into this. You'll be happy to know that we built on the rock, and we built on the hill. That is almost all rock. You'll see a picture here in a minute where you have a D11. By the way, they let me drive the D11. There's a D11 pushing one of the scrapers because it couldn't get through the rock. There it is. Look at that. He couldn't go because the ground was so hard. So we've got a good foundation, friends. I want you to know. But that's good enough. We can move on from there. So I wanted to just give you a little picture of the what was going on with the getting the property and the construction. But then we, at the same time, we knew we didn't want to have a church and not have the people. So all along at the same time, even before the property was purchased, we said we need to start looking at people to plant a church that will be ready to move in. I'm going to hand this off to you, Pastor Ross.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Doug. You know, Pastor Doug's favorite part of the whole building project was seeing those cats on the property moving dirt. That was pretty exciting, see those big earth-moving equipment. Well, at the same time, just to back up a little bit, in 2006, Pastor Doug gave me a call, and I was a member at Sacramento Central at the time, and he said, you know, we're looking to build a church, and we need somebody to kind of help spearhead a church plant in the Granite Bay area. And at the time, I just finished pastoring in the Midwest for 9 years, and I loved church ministries and pastoring. I said, oh, that would be great. I'd love to do that, but we need a team. And it was at that point that we hired Pastor John Q. He's been with this process from the very beginning, and he's done an excellent job, and he's been a part of it. So we began to meet, and there was a church business meeting that occurred at Sacramento Central, and officially Sac Central voted in a business session to plant a group in Granite Bay. And while I was walking out of that meeting, Bill Husk, many of you remember Bill Husk, he's passed away since, he reached out and he grabbed my sleeve as I walked by, and he said, you know, I have a home in Granite Bay, and I want you to know that home is open to whatever this church group needs. And so we actually started in the home of Bill Husk, and I think we got a picture on that. There we go. We started in Bill Husk's home in 2007. It was the beginning of 2007. We began to meet, plan. We had prayer meetings. We got an organizational team together. And then eventually, in September of 2007, we were able to move right across the street here to an elementary school. Pastor John Q and I, we were meeting with the principal there, and he asked, well, how long do you think you're going to need to rent our school? And we thought, well, you know, give us at the most 2 years, we'll be moved into our new church facility. Well, that was probably wishful thinking. That's what the architects and the construction people were telling us. But anyway, so we were there at the elementary school. We actually opened in September of 2007, and we had a great turnout. We had a number of Sac Central people that came to join us to help us in that start. We immediately got involved in evangelism, and Eric Flickinger was our first evangelist that we did for the Granite Bay plant, and we had the AFCO students involved. We had a wonderful meeting. We had 40-plus baptisms in that first evangelistic series. Some of you who are sitting here today came to the church and to the truth through these meetings way back then. But during 2008, so for about a year, we were actually there at the school. Near the end of 2008, we were kind of growing, and it was difficult for the children's facilities because we'd need to use classrooms, and the teachers didn't want their stuff moved. So we began looking for another location. We found the Shepherd of Sierras Church, which was not very far away, and some of you attended that facility. We were there from 2008 till about 2015, and in 2014, Pastor Doug got more involved in the Granite Bay Church. He was involved all the way through, but that's where he was still teaching Sabbath school at Sac Central at the time, but he would drive up for the church service. And so we began to grow. We were doing evangelism. Pretty soon that facility, we just couldn't fit any more people in, and we started piling people in the lobby of the church and opening the doors, and we began to realize we needed more room. It was during this time that we officially were organized as a church, October 5, 2013, and that was an exciting day. We had the conference representatives that were there. And then in 2016, we kept looking around. We needed to have a larger facility, but we also needed to have a facility that would allow us to use media for broadcast. And we renovated it's sort of a commercial building. I turned that into a church, and that was our home from about 2016 all the way through till when we sold it in 2019, near the end of 2019. Well, then, of course, we had the pandemic that came, and churches were, for the most part, shut down. We continued to do our worship service online. We were able to eventually, when things started opening up, we were able to meet at the Bayside Adventure Church for a couple of weeks. Some of you might remember that. It was a big facility. They allowed us to meet. There were all kinds of restrictions. But that we only did that a couple of times. And then by that point, we decided we can actually start moving back to the parking lot of the church. The weather was good, and we were getting different things done in the parking lot. There you can see our granite rock going into place at the fountain and all the different things that they were doing. We wanted to build on a firm foundation. And then we were meeting in the parking lot, and I think you folks remember this. We did that longer than we thought we'd do that. But eventually the high point was our first Sabbath in this facility, October 22. But it was not a disappointment. It was a day of rejoicing. October 22, 2020. And what's interesting about that is this was the final meeting in a series of evangelistic series, online meetings, and the first in-person meeting we did was part of that evangelistic series. So evangelism is in the DNA of the Granite Bay Church. And then, of course, a few weeks ago, we had a group picture of all those who were here. We took the picture outside, and it's just a great time of celebration and thanks. And at the same time, you know, Pastor Doug, there's been so many people that have helped in the building of this. And we want to mention to you as well, we are going to be having an official church opening, a little different from this, an official church opening that will be taking place September the 4th, and you'll hear more about that. It's at that meeting that we'll invite a lot of the community people to come. We've got representation that will be coming from the church all the way from the general conference, the conference, and so on. But we wanted this dedication kind of just to be for us, for those who attend the Granite Bay Church and make it special. But there are so many people that we need to thank who helped, and we'll talk about that in September. But Pastor Doug, maybe we can just mention four people just really briefly. And I know so many people have helped, but there's four people we just want to thank in a special way. And the first is Mike Moreland. Is he here? He usually sits back there somewhere. Is he there? He's kind of shy, but Mike, why don't you stand or wave or something so we can see who he is.
It's fun to embarrass him.
There you go. We want to thank Mike. Mike has been with the project from the very beginning. He's really steered through all kinds of potential obstacles and challenges. So
we have an Adventist with construction experience. It was a great, work on Sabbath.
Yep.
When this was happening, and the Lord blessed. And we also prayed no one would get hurt. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any serious injury with all that equipment and the work going on.
And then another person that was also connected with the construction of the building, and I don't know if he's here, Leonard Grado. He's also an Adventist, and he'll probably be coming for our grand opening later on, but he stepped in and was very instrumental in helping to push us across the finish line as we neared the end. And so we just want to thank Leonard, and as I mentioned, he'll probably be joining us for that church opening. But Pastor Doug, there's two church members we just want to mention.
Yeah, also, you know, not only in the design, but in the decoration. I'd like to especially thank the Freed, Shelley Freed in particular. Yeah. Did a lot of work, a lot of rooms. And Shelley, I figure you're here because I saw John. You'd be willing to stand? There she is.
Thank you, Shelley.
And there's still more decorating going on all the time. It's an ongoing process. And we want to thank Sam DeVay. And Sam, and we want to thank Matt and Jeff. I've added names. They put the sign up. Sam cut the sign for free and donated it with his company. He drilled the hole through the stone for the fountain to work, and he's still helping us with some of these projects. And he just great having his engineering mind and all the work that, like I said, Matt and Jeff and others have done. We just really, really thank the team for all they're doing.
Amen. And as Pastor Doug said, this is just a few of the many who have been involved in helping to get the church where it is, and there's still a little ways to go. But now what we'd like to do in this part of the service, in a special way, we want to dedicate this building to the purpose of God. Oh, yes. And thank you, Pastor Doug. Before we do that, though, we have something important to share with you. Pastor Doug will tell us about
it. So how many were in the initial group that started the first meeting?
We started with a group of, believe it or not, about 15 people. We were all able to fit in Bill Husk's living room. And we just started praying together, organizing,
and what was the date of the first meeting?
We met for the first time in September of 2007 in the new facility, but we started meeting at Bill's home in the early part of 2007.
Okay.
Started planning and organizing.
And I heard from our clerk that right now we just crossed the threshold of 800 members.
Amen.
And you say, praise God. Now, we're probably going to have to plant another church because we only seat 1,500 here. We're at 80% right now. But you know, we want, this is your church. And this is a dedication today, not just of the building, but really of the people. Some of you received one of these cards when you came in. And we want to give you an opportunity to really be part of it, kind of be your individual living stone in the building. We'd like to encourage you to write down on your card maybe your favorite verse and your prayers and vision or dreams. We're inviting you to have dreams and visions right now. For the future, what would you like to see this church do as the time lingers until Christ comes? What would you like to see this accomplish? What kind of church you want it to be? Write your name on there, put the date on there. We're going to put this in like a time capsule with a few other artifacts. We're going to bury it, and we'll reveal where that is. Maybe we'll dig it up in 10 years if Jesus doesn't come. It'd be very interesting. And so we wanted to give you a chance to participate in that way.
And if we don't dig it up in 10 years because Jesus comes, we'll probably send somebody out before the earth is destroyed by fire at the end of the millennium to try and find it for us. We want to see what you wrote. The pastoral staff will look at it, and we'll pray for any prayer requests that you might have. You'll see baskets in the foyer, and you'll be able to drop that off. So,
now, do we have music now?
No, we're ready for the next part, which is the dedication.
Boy, we've been up here a long time.
I know, we've got to keep moving. You know, incidentally, makes me smile, Pastor Doug's got the same Bible that I have. And I've marked my verse that I'm supposed to read. And I
just realized yours is silver, mine's gold. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't look at that, and I thought, oh, man.
Gold's worth more than silver.
I can't remember the verse, but then I saw I had the wrong Bible. So I got the right Bible here. So we want to begin by just in a special way dedicating this facility for the Lord. And there is a verse in Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 12. And this is, I hope, will be your prayer as members. You know, the church is not a building. The church are the people in the building. And this, we hope, will be your prayer. I know it's the prayer of the pastoral staff. Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. What we want to do this morning is join ourselves to the Lord in a special way in a perpetual covenant that won't be forgotten.
Amen. Now, if you read in Deuteronomy 27, Moses, when he made a covenant of the blessings and the cursings with the people, he'd read a statement and then the people would say,
amen.
Amen. It says, and all the people said, amen. And so we're going to invite you, we're going to read sort of the dreams and visions that we had when we first built this church and for the plant. And we're going to state what those prayers are. There's about 18 sentences. It takes 3 minutes. And when I read one of these statements, if you're in harmony with it, you can make a covenant by saying, amen. That means we accept this. But we're going to stand before the Lord as we do this, if you're able.
We'd also like to invite the elders of the church to come join us on stage as the representatives of the church body, as well as the pastoral staff. I know some of our pastors are actually on assignment. Pastor Lucas is preaching in our sister church in Loomis, so he would have loved to have been here. Pastor Lucas had a prior appointment, but I know they're joining us and they will be watching this. And we have the elders here, and we've got the rest of our pastoral staff. Pastor John's coming, and Rod is here. So, what we'll do is, I think, Pastor Doug, we're going to all stand together as you read that, and we'll just bow our heads, and then following each of those statements, we will just respond with amen.
All right, this is our prayer of what kind of place we want this to be. Lord, make this church a place where you will be worshipped with reverence, truth, and joy.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place where your word is exalted, revered, and proclaimed as the consummate communication to humanity. Lord, let this be a place where the leadership are people of integrity, fully committed to the Word of God and serving others.
Amen.
A place for training a young army of evangelists, preachers, missionaries, and Bible workers, and will then launch them into the world with the three angels' message burning in their hearts.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place that is a church for people across the street and around the world, a place where the Word of God will be faithfully and fearlessly proclaimed through global television stations, the internet, and through satellites in space.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place where the highest quality holy music and sacred singing that will thrill, instruct, and inspire every listener to love you.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place that will positively portray the remnant church so no one is ever ashamed to invite their neighbor.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place of fellowship where warm, loving friendships are forged that will last eternity.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a place where we will hear the law of God exalted to its rightful prominence.
Amen.
A place of healing where people who are weak and sick can come and hear the truth that will restore their health and strength.
Amen.
A place where hungry people are fed only the best spiritual and physical food.
Amen.
A place for special convocations, presentations, and seminars that will equip the saints to serve humanity and honor God.
Amen.
A safe place where children long to come and receive training for lives of serving Jesus. Lord, let this be a place that will be a dependable fountain of programs where Jesus can bless.
Amen.
A place where people will really see Jesus reflected in the words and actions of his followers.
Amen.
A place that will be a constant beacon of truth in an age of spiritual darkness and compromise.
Amen.
Lord, let this be a factory of faith, an epicenter of evangelism, a light on a hill, and a pulpit of truth to the world. A place where people will learn to love Jesus so much they will sacrifice all to follow him.
Amen.
Amen. So at this time, what happens?
All right. Amen and amen, amen again.
You may be seated. I forgot what's next.
We would like to thank all of our elders and leaders that's been involved in the church. And, you know, there's been a number of young people that have also been with the Granite Bay Church from the very beginning. And at this time, we're going to bring two of the pastor's children forward who will be bringing us a special song of dedication.
And then one of the pastor's kids will be doing the scripture reading.
Okay.
Bless us all that we may Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. That was a beautiful song. Please stand for scripture reading. Today's scripture reading will be found in Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2. That's Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2. And it reads, "Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." We're going to do something a little bit different today, so you may be seated.
Before we pray this morning, I would like to actually invite the pastors John Quidzevite, Pastor Doug Batchelor, and also Pastor John Ross to come forward, as well as the elders. We're not only dedicating this building this morning, but we're also dedicating our pastors to their service in this building. I think Pastor Ross already mentioned that the church is the people, even more so than the buildings. As I think back on the years that we have been pursuing this building, I've not only seen this building come to fruition, but I've seen the building the characters of our pastors. Those of you that know Pastor Batchelor know that he's got a very choleric personality, but he's also very detail-oriented. But I've watched him in meetings, and it's been very interesting to see him defer to other people's positions or opinions and to ask for advice. And he's developed a sense of humility that's been very impressive to me through watching him pursue this project that has been a dream of his for years, but letting other people's input and advice take precedence over his own so often. I've also seen Pastor Ross. And Pastor Ross was, you know, our initial church plant pastor. And he got a lot of accolades for that role that he had. And a lot of people wanted him to move forward and kind of take charge of the whole project. And you know what? He very graciously stepped aside when Pastor Batchelor came in, and he's taken on the role of administrative pastor. Such an act of humility. The Lord has nurtured his character in that regard. And then Pastor Quidzevite, he came in just as a Bible worker and having just finished the evangelism program, and then watch him develop that sense of caring that he already had, but to develop it into a sense of leadership and discernment and quiet grace has been impressive to see as the Lord has developed his character through the years. So we look forward to seeing the Lord continuing to build our pastors and all the amazing ways that he's worked in their lives already. So we're going to include them as a prayer of dedication this morning. Before we do our congregational prayer, our choristers will lead us as we do our call to prayer this morning. Can I invite you all to kneel with me as we bow in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, this morning we come before you in praise. Lord, you have brought us on a long journey. That journey has been at times puzzling. We have not understood why it's taken time.
But Lord, in faith, we see that your time is always right. You've taken us through this process. You've grown our characters. You have grown the church. You've raised it up for a time like this. Lord, we pray that we will humbly fulfill your purpose in this church. Help us, Lord, to look to evangelism, to look for the people that are in need, to bring them here to your house so that they can worship you and glorify and honor you in preparation for your return. Lord, we are so grateful for our pastors. Thank you for each one. Lord, thank you also not just for Pastor Creedsevite, Pastor Ross, and Pastor Batchelor, but also Pastor Lucas and Pastor Sean. Lord, they're not here this morning, but we praise you for the work that they have done with our youth and with our family life, and we thank you so much for the gift of each person that is putting forth their effort in ministry. We pray for your blessings on them as individuals, in their ministries, and their families as well. Lord, we pray for all the different departments, all the different people that are trying to make this mission of this church a successful one, but we have faith, Lord. We have faith in you that you will guide through the process of this church continuing to grow and minister to people. Lord, we pray not only for this church, but we also pray for our worldwide church, and we pray that that church will fulfill the gospel commission that you have given it. Lord, we also pray for our members. Some are hurting. Lord, we pray you will be with the Mack family at this time as they have lost Lisa. Lord, please comfort them, and thank you for the hope and reassurance of resurrection. Lord, there are many others that we have not mentioned that are in need and that have hurting lives. There are relationships that need restoration. There are people that are sick that need healing. Lord, we look forward to the ultimate healing, the ultimate restoration that you give us in heaven someday. Amen. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes fixed on there, not getting distracted by things in this world, not letting moth or rust destroy the things of this earth, but our treasures are surely locked in heaven where moth or rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. Lord, we thank you for this congregation, for this church. We praise you for it. We praise you for the Sabbath. We glorify your name and dedicate this building and the ministry of this building to your cause. Thank you for hearing our prayer, O Lord. We pray these things now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
You know, I was thinking as John was praying that this prayer for the pastors would also include the pastors' wives. Because in all the work that was done, they may have sometimes appeared in the shadows, but they were really holding everything up. And so I want to thank Karen and Kathy and Ruth and all the pastors' wives that have been there, just supporting through the background. I also want to thank our media team. I don't think we've mentioned them yet. But so much of what we've done ever since we moved to Corporate Drive, even at Shepherd of the Sierra, media team kept going from building to building, setting up and taking down, and right now they're busy. How do you like our new window we put in? Isn't that nice? I don't know if you noticed, the clouds are actually moving. So I want to thank our media team for all that they do behind the scenes. That makes it possible for us to welcome right now those that are watching both online and on AFTV. And we're so thankful. We have a lot of members of this church who are online members. And we want to greet those. There are people around the world, they don't have a local church they can attend. And they have made this their home. And so we're welcoming them as well. Now, my message will be a little shorter today because we've already had a rich time just praising God for the way that he's blessed. Amen? But I want to talk about how to build a house for God. How do you build a house for God? I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother, who was Jewish, she was driving me some errand through town, and I saw this unique building. And I knew it wasn't a normal building, And I said, Grandma, what's that? She said, that's the synagogue. I said, what's a synagogue? I don't think I could even say it. She said, it's God's house. I thought, whoa. Because I had not been raised very religious, but I knew, you know, there was like God. Every now and then my grandmother would talk about God, and she'd say, God's going to punish you for this. So I knew there was a God, and I thought, God's house. And that to me seemed so awesome, so fearful. How could there be a place where God would live? How do you build a house for God? It's like we heard in our scripture reading, how do people build a house for God? The heavens of heavens cannot contain him. But the Bible tells us there are several occasions where God instructed his leaders to build him a house that would really be a place for the people to come together. You know, and I thought it would be important to remember that verse in Psalm 127, verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Many, many times along the way in this whole construction process, I've quoted that and said, Lord, unless you build the house, we labor in vain. You have to bless. You have to provide the people and the means and everything for this to come together. And we want this house to glorify you. Now, there are some nice houses in the world. I had to find out because I'm always looking for amazing facts. And I thought, who's got the nicest house in the world? And it's a gentleman that lives in India, a family, Mukesh Ambani. He's got a house there in Mumbai that is 27 stories tall. That's 550 feet high, his house. 4 million square feet. How'd you like to dust that? The bottom six floors have 186 parking spaces for the luxury cars. And the 600 plus servants and workers that live in the mansion. Got a helipad on the roof, a view of the Arabian Sea, and some of the most expensive real estate in one of the busiest cities in India. He's worth, you know, like $45 billion, and so he only spent a measly $2 billion on his home. $2 billion home. There's one floor in the home, because it's so hot in Mumbai, it's called the ice room. They have man-made snowflakes, so if you want to cool off, you go to this room where you can have man-made snow blow on you. Got a pool, it's got, you know, anything, ballrooms, bowling alley, theater, does the whole thing. That house is really built for the glory of man. But in the Bible, God said he was going to have Moses build a house that would be a place for him to dwell among them in a special way. So how do you build a house for God? Well, I'm going to give you 7 points, won't take too long, and I decided to adopt the letter H to help illustrate this. You build it high, you build it on something hard. You build it holy, happy, hopeful, healing, and then you build it with humans. So let's look at these points. Jesus gives us some scriptures on how to build a house. First of all, he tells us you build it high. Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, since moving to this new property, you saw that we went through a pilgrimage of several locations, a home, a couple of schools, some other churches that we borrowed, the corporate office, and finally settling down in our own place. It's so wonderful. And here we are on top of a hill. And when we met, we thought, you know, we've moved so many places, maybe we ought to clarify the name so they know where we are now. And we thought, how appropriate to call it the Hilltop, Seventh-day Adventist Church. We want our light to be on a hill so people will see. And we're wanting to be a light in this community and beyond. Amen? By the way, we have an evangelistic program planned for this October. And it starts October 22nd. It's 1 year after our first meeting, and it goes till November 13, Panorama Prophecy. Be praying now that we can reach out locally and beyond, be a light on the hill. John 12, verse 32, Christ said, if I am lifted up, the reason he says you should put your light on the hill, it's a position of visibility. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. You want to be where people can see the light, and then they're drawn. And we want to raise that standard of holiness that God has in this church. You must build it on something hard, is the next point. And you know these verses in the Bible. It says in 1 Kings 5, verse 17, "And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones and hewn stones, and lay the foundation of the temple." When we went to Israel a couple of years ago, we went down underneath the Wailing Wall, and we got this private tour of one of the foundation stones, and it, I don't know, it must be 25 feet long. It weighs more than a fully loaded 747. Just one stone. You can remember in the Bible when the disciples said to Jesus, "Let's go look at the stones." I mean, who would do that for fun? But these were monumental stones. It's amazing how they even moved it. They built it on a solid foundation. And as you saw in our video earlier, praise God, we built on the rock. But we know who is that rock. Who is the Rock of Ages? You want to build your church where you're shining the light of the world, and that is Jesus. You want to build it on the Rock of Ages, and that is Jesus. And rocks, you know, if you don't build on the rock, you know that other verse, Matthew 7:24, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock." Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." That rock is also the Word. "He that hears these words of mine and does them." Christ is the Word. Christ is the light. Christ is the rock. The Word is a rock. Ten Commandments were written on a rock. It's something solid. I remember reading about a boy who he was vacationing with his family at the beach, and he really enjoyed it because he was creative. And he finally had a chance to start building some sandcastles, and he'd do it all day long. His parents would slather him with suntan lotion. He'd go out and he'd spend the day and he'd build castles, and then he'd build adjoining houses to them, and he'd build virtual cities. But then after a few days of doing this, some rough kids in the afternoon would go up the beach and they saw him building his sandcastle with their bare feet. They kicked it all down. And that was so annoying. Well, the next day he went out again. He started building another castle. And in the afternoon, these bullies showed up again, and they kicked it down. And they're laughing at him. He thought that was so mean. Well, he hoped they wouldn't come the third day, but they came the third day after he had constructed an even better. Every castle was getting better. And they kicked it down. And then he got an idea. Not far from the beach, there was a construction site, and they had some pieces of broken cinder block and stone and brick and rocks. And he went and stacked that where he had been building his castle before, and they were sticking up in the ground, and he just packed some sand around them and started building castles on them. And sure enough, later in the afternoon, those boys started coming up the beach. He went off to the bushes. And he saw them all at the same time bang and bruise and bloody their toes on his castle. They never bothered him anymore after that, because it was founded on a rock. You want to build it on something high, you want to build it on something hard, and you want to build it holy. The Bible tells us that his house should be a house of prayer for all nations. Isaiah had his converting vision in the temple of God. It says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up on his throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. And flanking on the right and the left were the seraphim, each with six wings. And they cried out one to another as they covered their face with two wings and their feet with two wings. They said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.'" Even the angels tell God he is holy. And we want this to be a place where people are relaxed. We want it to be a place where it's practical. We want it to be functional. But let's never lose the sense of reverence. During Sabbath school, I walked around a little bit, and some young people started to run, and I heard the parents say, "Don't run." "Why not? This is a house of God." And I just really appreciate that people maintain that there's something different about this building. In our conversation, in our behavior, in our attire, we come and we say, this is where we meet with God. And we want to have a sense of reverence. It's a holy place. And a place that doesn't change. You know, when Solomon built the earthly temple, he had all the stones cut off site, perfectly measured, so that when they brought them on site, they would not hear the sound of a hammer as they assembled the building. And he just said, this is going to be like unlike any other building. And so there was a holiness about it. You know, when we built this place, all the workers knew. Even when we got behind schedule, they said, well, we'd be on schedule, they told us, if you'd let us work Saturdays. We said, no, we'll be off schedule with God. So we're not working Sabbaths. And I think the Lord is going to bless for that. Want to build it holy. You want to build it happy. In Isaiah 56, verse 7, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Now, I put this here because sometimes people think if you have a holy house, it can't be happy. But no, God says it's supposed to be both. This is to be a place of rejoicing. I even threw in some extra scriptures just so you would not miss it. Ezra 6:16. Then the children of Israel, the priests and the Levites and the rest of the descendants of the captivity, they celebrated the dedication of the house of God with what?
Joy.
With joy. Friends, we are to be joyful today. We are to be happy at the way that God has blessed and led. Psalm 42:4. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. In Luke 24, verse 52, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Even after Jesus died and ascended to heaven, the apostles continued to go to the house of God and did it with joy, praising God and blessing God, our Savior's alive. Amen? It's on the right hand in heaven. Someone said, if your religion does not make you happier, then no one is going to want your religion. If your religion makes you sour, no one's going to want your religion. And so we want to be joyful. I heard that Holiday Inn, years ago, were opening a big hotel in a city, and they had to interview, they needed 50 employees. They actually had 500 people that applied for these jobs in the Holiday Inn. And in the interview process, they had someone that sat with the managers as they interviewed the candidates for these hotel jobs. And they counted how many times people smiled during the interview. If they smiled less than three times, they were automatically out. Because they said, we are in the, it's not the hostess business, what? Hospitality business, yeah. And, you know, we're to be friendly. And if they're not friendly, we got the wrong people. Well, friends, we want people to come to our church, right? And so we want to be joyful. We want to be happy. And I'm so glad for our greeters that always have a big smile when people come through the door. We want it to be hopeful, a place of faith. Now abides faith, hope, love. And we want this to be a place of hope. You know, in the house of God, people came and they prayed in faith, and great things happened. We remember in the Bible that a publican came to the house of God and he prayed, Lord, have mercy on me. He had faith that God would forgive him even though he was a sinner. You remember where Hannah came to the house of God? She had been barren for years and she prayed in faith and said, Lord, give me a son. And Eli said, God's going to grant you your request. There in the house of God, she believed the word of God and she had a son that became a great leader in Israel. So we want it to be a place of faith. You can read in 1 Kings 8:33, when your people Israel are defeated from before an enemy because they've sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and they confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this house, then hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and bring them back to the land that you gave their fathers. This is to be a house of hope. We also want it to be a place of healing. Of course, the world is sick with sin, and we want people to find spiritual healing in this place. That's first and foremost. All of the physical healing that Jesus did was always secondary to the spiritual healing, because the physical healing was temporary. The spiritual healing can potentially be forever. So we want it to be a place of healing, but we also want the physical healing. People came to Christ and they found physical healing. Look at this, Matthew 21:14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said there at the temple gates, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his bones and his ankles received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, and he walked into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And at that point, probably deacons would say, "Will you please calm down?" But he is walking for the first time. And he came in praising God, walking, leaping, and praising God. We want people to find healing here. Not only we've prayed and had anointing services and seen miracles. It doesn't always happen, but we have seen miracles here where God has blessed people and prolonged their lives and given them healing. But we're also going to be teaching practical health things that people can do to improve their quality of life. And I'll tell you, we sure need that in America. A lot of people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they don't know that it has something to do with the way they're living. And we want to share that truth with people so they can find that healing. Lord, grant that this place can be a house of healing as well. And then finally, we need to build it with humans. You notice in our scripture reading, it said, "Where's the house that you will build for the Lord?" You know, the church is not the building. I am so thankful. You have no idea. I'm so thankful to finally be in here. This has been a vision that has been going on for 20 years. I'm not exaggerating. From the time of concept that we needed to do something at Central and build a church, and I had no idea. If I knew how much was involved, God didn't want me to know. Because if I knew, I would have said, "Lord, I'm not your man." But I'm so thankful for the building. I'm so thankful we'll be able to do so much, so many practical things in ministry. And I really praise the Lord. But I have no illusions. This is not the church. It's not 2x4s and metal. You are the church. It is people. We were reminded several times during the pandemic that even when we couldn't get under the roof, we still had a church. It's the people. Now, I think it's important for us to come together. We have scriptures on that. "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And Jesus said, "And when you come together, it's assumed that we will gather together." And the Holy Spirit was poured out, and they were of one accord in one place. We want the outpouring of the Spirit, right? Sometimes God uses these places. But ultimately, the Bible says that you are the church. Let me read you some verses. Ephesians 2:19. "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." What is our foundation? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, "in whom the whole building, being fitly joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Someone said, "The church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members." We do not exist solely for our benefit. We exist principally for the benefit of those that are not here, that we might reach them with the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:16, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And I like this one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "Coming to him as a living stone," Jesus, our cornerstone, "rejected indeed of men, but chosen by God and precious," like the precious stones that Solomon used. "You also, living stones, are built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He who believes on him will by no means be put to shame.'" We have nothing to worry about if we believe in Jesus. You know, they got these interesting practices among the Mennonites, the Amish. Sometimes they need to relocate a house or a barn, And it's amazing what they do. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the video footage of this. This is one that I just captured online where they needed to relocate one gentleman's barn. And so instead of hiring a construction company, they got 200 men. The women all come and they cook the food and the men all get together and they build struts and straps and they put it underneath the barn and they get instructions. And when they call out the signals, I think it's in some German, they lift the barn and they move the barn. It's just an amazing thing to see. They say, oh, two steps right, two steps left, a little slowly up, down. It's amazing. They moved the barn 100 yards. The men did it manually by working together. You know, they've got these ants that are spreading everywhere. They're called fire ants. And they were introduced from South America. But boy, they can't stop them. And the interesting thing about these ants, one reason the entomologists, who is it that studies bugs? I forget. Bug scientists. Yeah. They say they're so successful in spreading is because they are a living structure. When they come to a place that's too high, they turn themselves into a ladder. When they come to a place that is too far, they turn themselves into a bridge. They stretch apart across, they link their arms together, and then they let the others walk across them. When they come to a river, they make themselves into a boat. And some of them will drown in the process, but they will keep the others alive. And when they camp for the night, they turn themselves into a building, and with all the babies protected inside. They are like a living organism. And that's, I think, a kind of a beautiful illustration. I don't want you to be fire ants, but I'll tell you, they're getting out there. Nothing can stop them because they work together. And there's a lesson there for us to learn. Amen? Amen. So we want this church to be a church that is going to be built on Christ, built on something hard, high, holy, happy, hopeful, healing with humans. I remember hearing a story years ago about this Navy battleship that was doing some maneuvers in the Atlantic Ocean one stormy night. And in the process, because the weather was so rough, the captain was up on the bridge, and one of the lookouts said, there's another ship directly off the bow. And the captain said, well, we can't break radio silence, so use the, they got these flashing lights, they flash Morse code. He said, tell him he needs to adjust his course 20 degrees. So they sent the signal with their flashing Morse code, and they said, signal light, yeah, adjust your course 20 degrees. And back came the response, you adjust your course 20 degrees west. The captain thought, well, what does he think? He's not the captain. He said, you tell him that I am a captain. I want him to adjust his course 20 degrees east. They sent the signal. Back came the signal. Said, I am a seaman second class. Adjust your course 20 degrees west. Now the captain was really upset. He said, send him back a signal and say, we are a battleship. Adjust your course 20 degrees east. And back came the signal that said, I'm the lighthouse on a rock. Adjust your course 20 degrees west. Jesus is the rock. We need to order our lives with Him and His Word. Amen? We want this church to be an immovable lighthouse in the community that Christ can use. How many of you feel the same way? Amen. We're going to sing about it, that Jesus is our cornerstone. He is our lighthouse. Let's stand together. It's 348 in your hymnals. It'll also, I believe, be on the screen. The church has one foundation.